I'm Shelley Hall. I'm the chief of transplant from Baylor University Medical Center in Dallas, Texas. I've been asked to talk to you today about predicting rejection. When will we go beyond the biopsy? So I'm very passionate about this topic. I've been trying to get rid of biopsies as long as possible in my career. And we have to start with, what is rejection? And the reality is that rejection is the natural phenomenon within our body to fight off something foreign. And the transplanted organ is foreign. And so our immune system is going to rev up and try and attack that. And we have created a lot of toxic drugs to try and prevent that, to allow people to live long lives with their organ. However, the end result of rejection is graft dysfunction. Well, we certainly did not want to wait that long. And of course, in the early days of transplantation, that's all we had. When the graft failed, we ultimately figured out, oh boy, it's the immune system rejecting it. And then it was like, okay, what do we do? Well, eventually the biotome was created and we found a way to get tissue of the transplanted organ. And for my sake, we're talking about the heart. And we're going to go ahead and use that tool for many decades. Now, it's called the gold standard, but let's face it, it's not as gold as you may think, okay? I call it sort of a polished brass. Now, the current strategy is that we have a new grading system for the past 10 years or so, and it's 0R, 1R, 2R, and 3R. And you would think that that is very easy. When we get a call from the pathologist, we expect that it's, give us that grade. And often we'll get a call that says, well, how's the patient doing? And we go, what does that have to do with you calling the biopsy? And they're like, well, it could be a 1R, it could be a 2R. So if the patient's doing great, we may call it a 1R, but if they're having problems, we may call it a 2R. And that confuses us as a transplant cardiologist, because we would think that it would be very black and white. When we go and look at the biopsy, all we know is blue is bad. And the more blue we see, the worse potentially the grading of the biopsy is. However, when we look at interconcordance among various pathologists, there's only about a 70% agreement across all of the gradations of biopsy scores. And if you look at just 2R, which is our biggest challenge, there's only a 28% concordance among readers. So we still have a big problem. Now, part of that blue is bad is the lymphocytes. Well, we don't know if those lymphocytes are just present, or are they actually active? Are they actually doing something to the cell? There's lots of confounders when you're looking at a biopsy. Old biopsy sites, quilty, infections like CMV or toxo can all cause cellular changes that may look like rejection but aren't actually rejection. It's expensive, over $4,000 in most centers when you add up all of the costs of the cath lab and the pathology reads. It's invasive. It does have complications, although they're low. And ultimately, we're doing a lot of biopsies for a very few rejections, about 30,000 biopsies to give us 3,000 2Rs and 3Rs. That's a lot of these invasive procedures. So those of us who are very interested in getting beyond this have been so excited when the first new break in this field came through, and that is gene expression profiling, okay? And that was a test that essentially gathered together about 20 genes involved in T cell activity, steroid sensitivity, platelet activation, inflammation, cell migration. Some of them revved up, some of them revved down, and it came up with a score through the company CareDx called an AlloMap score. Now, this was the first kind of clinical break in trying to figure out, could we eliminate some biopsies? Now, this test's power is in its negative predictive value. It gives us comfort in knowing there's not a rejection. And that means that if it's a low score, the likelihood of rejection is less than 0.1%. If there's a higher score above the threshold, then there's a 5% chance. So you can see still it's not great in its positive predictive value, with an area under the curve of about 0.68. So typically it has been used to eliminate biopsies in low-risk patients that have a score that's below the threshold, and we can feel comfortable that in an asymptomatic patient, they're not having a rev up of their immune system. Various centers use that very differently. It's been well validated, multiple trials, Cargo, Cargo 2, Image looking at 6 months on, eImage looking at 2 months on, all have validated the study. There's been over 110,000 tests performed in over 21,000 patients, and it's now part of the ISHLT guidelines, and it's covered by almost all payers. So it's typically now involved in most programs, but to varying levels. Some use it immediately from 2 months on, some use it later to try and wean down immunosuppression, and everything in between. So we still don't have a universal standard utilization. Exciting new technology, however, has come aboard, and that's cell-free DNA. Now, believe it or not, we have lots of cell-free DNA floating around in our plasma. We're turning over our cells at about 10,000 per second. So those cells are getting destroyed, the cell membranes being lysed, and now you're having all of this free DNA floating around in the bloodstream. Well, when you get a transplant, same thing is happening to that organ. And what happens is you start to have some small amounts of the graft cell-free DNA floating around in the bloodstream. The half-life of all of this is very, very short, about 20 minutes, but it's a continual process. And so what we have learned through some trials is that we can analyze that, detect it, and potentially demonstrate rejection. Now, the first method that was utilized required a lot of work. You needed the donor genotype, the recipient genotype. You needed to do a lot of amplification and work, and it was very labor-intensive. New technology has come about called AlloSure, which is also by the CareDx company, and they don't need the donor and recipient genotyping. They use a different way looking at SNPs, and they're able to detect this, analyze it, and give us a fraction. So what we do is we take the total cell-free DNA floating around in the bloodstream and the fraction that's just the donor-derived cell-free DNA, and that gives you a percent number. And by getting that, you utilize and you can now determine a baseline for the recipient. And when it starts to rise, that is implying that there is increased cellular damage of the heart, and that is both potential ACR and AMR. So while the gene expression profiling was developed mainly for the negative predictive value for ACR, and the reason that most people didn't get rid of biopsies was because it didn't really help us in the AMR, this test can potentially help us with both. And that's what we're trying to do with rejection, right? We certainly were happy when we got to the biopsy, we were able to get to detecting injury before we had graft dysfunction. Then we got to the root of the problem, which is the expression of the genes that cause it. But still, it was only for ACR, and it was mainly in a negative predictive value. With cell-free DNA, we can detect injury long before there's pathological injury. So about 30 days before you'll actually have a biopsy change, you'll start to have an elevation in cell-free DNA. So this is getting to it earlier. And now a new registry is going to be coming out where we combine the two tests. So you do both gene expression profiling and cell-free donor-derived cell-free DNA on the patient. And now you have an area under the curve of 0.A1, and that's going to be SURE, the Surveillance Heart Outcomes Registry, that'll be going live this fall. So we are really finally getting to the technology where we do not have to biopsy all the time our patients. Now, are we completely getting rid of biopsies? Not in the immediate future. We still, when you have elevated cell-free DNA, you don't know if it's ACR or AMR. And so you are still going to rely on the biopsy, but maybe now you don't have to do surveillance biopsies. Now, with these potential technologies, you can go ahead and survey the patient. And when you have an elevation in the cell-free DNA and an elevation in the gene expression profiling, that is when you can go do a biopsy, find out what's going on. Ultimately, we have other technology that's in development, and this is not getting rid of the biopsy. This is utilizing the biopsy, and that's the molecular microscope. It is looking at the actual mRNA expression in the organ itself, and it's got a very good power of estimating the ACR and the AMR, but it does need the biopsy because it's obviously relying on tissue. So we have multiple technologies that are in development or have been developed to help us get rid of routine surveillance biopsies. The standard heart patient in the past could get 30 to 40 biopsies sometimes in a year. And now, with all of this technology, we may be able to decrease that just to under 5 biopsies a year for patients who have abnormalities, less in those who aren't. And when they are having abnormalities, be able to add the molecular microscope to get further details out of that tissue. And so the answer to the question is, we are moving away from biopsies, but it may be a long time before we completely get rid of them.